We live, we love, we serve.
Amen, amen. And so if you will grab your Bibles or your phones or your Bible apps, I would love to invite you to read a portion of this text with me found in 2 Kings. Amen. So grateful for every opportunity to stand before you. Amen. So grateful for what God is doing. Even when we can't see God moving, God is still moving. Grateful for a God that's moving. 2 Kings, the second chapter. 2 Kings 2. And really, if you have your app, please read this with me. Don't take my word for it. Amen. I know we're going to put it on the screens too. Thank you, God. 2 Kings 2, starting at verse 1. And it reads in the New Revised Standard Version. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elisha said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As long as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other, and the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share or double portion of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet," somebody say yet, "if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water. He said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? Where is he?" He struck the water again, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha crossed over. When the company of prophets who were at Jericho saw him at a distance, they declared, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God is able. God is able. God is able. Amen. God is able. God is able. Amen. God, we bless your name. We thank you and we love you and we're grateful. Grateful for this divine moment where we are here and you are here and we are open to your spirit. Our hearts are open, our minds are open, our spirits are open. Speak to us, O God. Give us a word that will bring new life. Stand tall in me, your servant, O Lord, that your children might hear you more than they see me. And we give you honor and we give you praise, for you are worthy. Yes, you are worthy. And we say together, amen. 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 I just want to read a portion of that in the 9th verse. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." I want you to look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, neighbor. Oh, neighbor, neighbor, I'm expecting a double portion." Come on, look at your other neighbor and say, "Neighbor, I'm expecting a double portion." Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise as you take your seats today. Expecting a double portion. This past week, I had the opportunity to go to the Apollo. Yes, I go to the Apollo. It's okay. A good friend had gotten some tickets for us to go and hear Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson give a talk based on her new book that's come out. And it was just a blessing. I was really mesmerized by her story. She had such an amazing story. And she talked about how as a little girl, she remembered sitting at the table and doing her work and her parents doing their work as attorneys. That when she got to high school, by the time she got to high school, she was declaring in the atmosphere that she was going to be a Supreme Court justice. I'm talking about from high school. And she carried that with her all of those years after high school, all of those years after college, all of those years after law school, all of those years serving in the court until one day she got a call from President Joe Biden inviting her to be the next Supreme Court justice. She carried that dream, that vision, that hope of a double portion. Amen. Her whole life until it was actually manifested. But she's not the only one. Last week, or I guess it would be week before last now, I had the opportunity to watch the Democratic National Convention, where I also heard another woman talk about a dream that she has. Kamala Harris has the dream of becoming the next president of these United States. I'm gonna put a plug here and say, make sure you're registered to vote. Your vote will matter. Your vote will make a difference. We have a responsibility to show up at the polls. But she also was someone that had a dream of something bigger and better. And one of the things I loved during her speech is that whenever she would show up in court, when she was an AG, when she was serving as an attorney, she always said, Kamala Harris for the people. Something about that phrase, for the people, just really stood out to me. That sometimes when we fight, we're not fighting for ourselves. We're not fighting so that we can get ahead, because it's not just about us. It's bigger than us. But something happens when we are committed to fighting for our brother, our sister, our friends, that when we're willing to sacrifice for the people, that God shows up in a mighty way. And that's what we're seeing here in this text that I shared on today. How when we are diligent and ask for the things that we want and fight for those things, then God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. But the thing that really stood out to me more than anything is the fact that when I look at Justice Brown Jackson, when I looked at Vice President Kamala Harris, I realized that their stories didn't start where they are right now. But they started long, 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 long time ago. And sometimes we look at people where they are now and think that they just showed up that way. But we don't know all they had to go through to get to where they are. And sometimes people might do the same thing to you. They might look at you where you are today and not realize all that you had to go through to get here. All of the fighting, all of the times that you could have given up, but you didn't give up. All of the times that people were coming against you, but you had faith in God. All of the times that you kept on pushing, kept on moving forward. All the times that you cried at night. All the times that you were under attack. They don't know what you had to go through to get to where you are. And if there's anybody in here that can acknowledge, I didn't just show up today, but I came through a long way of faith, a long passage of tears, a long whole lot of crying, a whole lot of believing, a whole lot of trusting, a whole lot of backing up and then coming forward, a whole lot of change in your mind, but you are here nevertheless. Come on, tell your neighbor you're here. Tell him you made it to today. Ooh, and the best is yet to come. This is where we are with Elisha. We recognize that he didn't just show up in this text on this day. But there was a call that had happened. If you go back in the first Kings in the 19th chapter, it will talk about the call of Elisha. How God told Elijah, when Elijah was complaining and saying, God, I've had enough. I'm ready to go. And God came to Elijah and gave Elijah some assignments. And one of those assignments was for him to go and prepare Elijah to take his place as prophet. And so the text, when you read it, it says that Elijah went looking for Elisha. And when he found him, Elijah was actually plowing in the field, and he had some oxen, and he was plowing. There were 12 other oxen in the field, and he was just one of the 12. And the text says that when Elijah saw him, he removed his mantle and put his mantle on Elisha. Clearly, that represented that Elijah needed to follow Elijah. And so that's what he did. He said, hold on, prophet. Don't leave just yet. Because Elijah just put the mantle on him, apparently just walked away. And he said, wait. Let me go and say goodbye to my mother and father, and then I will follow you. I mean, oh my God, what does it look like to drop everything because you believe that God has called you to an assignment and say, I'm going to leave everything that I know, and I'm going to take a step forward in the work that God has called me to do. I'm going to leave everything that's familiar to me. I'm going to leave everything that's comfortable to me, even yet my parents, my mother, and my father, to go to a place that I don't even know where I'm going, to follow a man that I don't even really know very well. But because I feel like God has called me to do it, I'm going to do that. Because if you want the double portion, it takes big faith. And big faith takes big risks. Come on, tell your neighbor, big faith takes big risks. When was the last time you took a risk for God? When was the last time you saw where you were but realized that God has something better for you? God has something more for you that you couldn't even imagine. And without even knowing what the more was, you said, God, I'm going to follow you anyway. Oh, I need to stop right now, because some of us need to have all the answers before we take a step. But that's not faith. That is confidence in knowing. Faith says, I'm going to go even though I don't know where I'm going to be led to. Faith says, I'm going to go even though I can't see the promise just yet, because I believe not in the promise, but I believe in the one who's making the promise, who will do more than we could ever ask or think. And so he went back to his mother and his father. And this is the part that really got me. He had his oxen, and the text said that he sacrificed the oxen unto the Lord. And then all the materials and supplies that he was using to steer the oxen, he then took those things, broke them up into a pile, made a fire, and then burned and boiled the oxen in the fire, and then used the meat to feed the people and be a blessing to the community. So what I'm seeing here is, not only does big faith take big risks, but big faith makes big sacrifices. It is interesting to me, because I can't imagine he was likely a farmer, and this is the source of his supply. This is how he's feeding and helping to nurture his family and himself. But he took everything that he was familiar with, slaughtered the oxen, used all of the equipment to build a fire, to make the offering, gave the meat to the people, and followed Elijah. What that says to me was that he was committed in such a way that he didn't even want to leave a remnant for him to return. That he was willing to sacrifice everything for the Lord, for this assignment. And so he didn't even want to, you know, we always try to land in a soft spot. He wasn't afraid of landing wherever God was calling him to land. And so he gave everything to make a sacrifice unto the Lord, to express his gratitude to God. But in making the sacrifice ended up being a blessing to the people. When was the last time you made a sacrifice to that? that extent that you knew it was costing you something that you couldn't get back very readily? When was the last time that you gave up something, not just for yourself, but to be a blessing not only to God, but to someone else? When was the last time you made a sacrifice? I'm going to stop right here, because I know if I was saying the Lord will make a way somehow, y'all would be up shouting. But when I talk about sacrifice, because we don't know what it is to sacrifice, but our mothers and our fathers and our grandmothers and our grandfathers knew what it was to sacrifice, to go and stand before dogs and hoses so that we could have the right to vote, even when they didn't get it. They knew what it was to sacrifice. And I would just declare, if we could get a spirit of sacrifice going even in this church, we could transform this whole Harlem community and yet even the world, if we were willing to make a sacrifice. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, when was the last time you made a sacrifice? Woo! Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, when was the last time you made a sacrifice? Some of us are looking for God to move, and God is saying, if you want me to move, then do something that's going to prompt me to move. Make a sacrifice. Give something to somebody that costs you something. That's what Elijah did. Elijah took a big risk. He made a big sacrifice. And then that brings us to this story that we read this morning, where Elijah and Elisha in conversation. And apparently Elijah knows that this is going to be his last day, that he is on his way out of here. And so he tells his protege, if you will, his mentee, listen, stay here in Gilgal. God has called me to go to Bethel. Now, Bethel was 7 miles away. They ain't had no car, y'all. And so it would have been a relief for Elisha to stay and say, okay, you go ahead. I'll be here when you get back. But that's not what he did. He says, no. I will not stay here. As long as the Lord lives and you live, I am going with you. And so he goes with him and walks those 7 miles with his mentor to show that he was not just there until things got hard. He wasn't just there until it was time to separate, that he was committed to staying with Elijah till the end. They get to Bethel. They're at Bethel. Elijah apparently met with the prophets. Now the prophets are coming to Elijah. Man, look, you know your master getting ready to leave. He told us what's going on. What's going on? Elijah said, stop. I know. Be quiet. Mind your business. And kept moving. Then Elijah came to him a second time. Somebody said second time. He said, Elijah, listen, I appreciate you coming with me to Bethel, but listen, God is sending me now to Jericho. Now, to go from Bethel to Jericho is about 20 miles. So that's almost 3 times what it took for them on the first journey. He heard Jericho. He knew where Jericho was. He says, no, Elijah, I'm not going to leave you. I am going to stay with you. I'm not going to leave you while you're in the middle of this God assignment. I'm staying right here with you. And so they went to Jericho. They got to Jericho. Elijah had the conversation with the prophets. The prophets came to Elisha again. Hey, man, don't you know your master's leaving today? Don't you know he's leaving today? What you gonna do? What's gonna happen to you? Stop it. Be quiet. I know. And then from Jericho, he went to Jordan. And don't you know the same thing happened? Because people sometimes won't understand your journey. They won't understand why you're doing the things you do. They won't understand why you're showing up the way that you're showing up. But it's not for them to understand, because sometimes it's a vertical thing. It's between you and the Lord. And when you know what God is doing in your life and what God has called you to, it gives you a different kind of courage to be able to stand even when others wouldn't, to be able to move forward even when others would stay behind, to be able to be committed even when you're not sure what's going to happen on the other side. And so they went from Jericho then to Jordan. Same thing. Please stay. He says, no, I'm coming with you another 8 miles. They walked about 35 miles, y'all. And he was with him every step of the way. Now some commentators say that Elijah was testing Elisha just to see if he had it in him to move forward. But I don't know if it was a test as much as it was giving him an opportunity to show his faithfulness to God, which reminds him of his own faithfulness, something that he'd be able to carry with him forward, to know that he stayed with his mentor until the end. And so as they're walking, they get to the Jordan, and this is a river, y'all. And back then they didn't have bridges, amen. And clearly there wasn't a boat. And so in order to cross the river, you literally had to walk or swim across the river. And so that particular day, Elijah took off his mantle. The text said he rolled it up and then pointed it to touch the Jordan. And when he did that, the water separated. Now, this was Elisha's last miracle, right? Of all that he had done, all the people that he helped, this was his last miracle, that he would take his mantle off and believe that he had the power. Whew. It wasn't that God told him to do it, because God told Moses to do it. He had a directive, but God didn't tell Elijah to do it. Elijah just had the faith, and he knew the power that he had, that if he took off his mantle and he touched that water, the waters will part. And so we have to recognize that we've got power. Sometimes we're waiting on God, and God is waiting on us. Sometimes we don't need for God to tell us. We need to believe in the power that God has given us based on the experiences that we've had with God. That God has given you power to move and to shift and to change. That God has given you the power to get up and to go forward and to make a difference. And so he wrapped that mantle up. He touched the Jericho, the Jordan River. The waters part. And the text said that they walk across on dry ground. Now, after all of that, after going from Gilgal to Bethel, from Bethel to Jericho, from Jericho to Jordan, and now they crossed over the Jordan. Now, Elijah asked Elisha a question. What is it that I can do for you? And I want to just stop right there, because sometimes we don't get to the question because we leave too soon. He didn't ask him that question when he was in Gilgal. He didn't ask him that question after he traveled with him to Gilgal to Bethel. He didn't ask him that question after he traveled with him to Bethel to Jericho. He didn't even ask him the question when he agreed to travel with him from Jericho to Jordan. But after they crossed, that's when the question came. And some of us need to recognize that we might need to go a little bit further, that we might need to take a couple of more steps, that we might need to try a little bit harder, that we don't need to get up and stop midway in our journey because of whatever the reasons may be around us. Most of them have to do with the enemy lying to us, telling us we can't make it, telling us it's not going to make a difference, telling us we need to stop right now, telling us we've already done enough. But I declare today that the devil is a liar. Your double portion is waiting on you as you continue to move forward in the Lord. So he asked him, what is it? What do you want me to do for you? And Elijah comes with a big ask. Somebody say it was a big ask. Now, it's a big ask because it's something that Elijah really can't do. Because Elijah doesn't control the anointing that was placed on him. God placed that anointing on him. That Elisha could have asked him for wealth. He could have asked him for power. He could have asked him for a position. He could have asked him for his mantle. He could have asked him for his cloak. But he didn't. He said, get this, I want a double portion of your spirit. What? I want a double portion of your spirit, because I know that if I am called to do this work that God has called me to do, I'm not going to be able to do it by myself, and you're not going to be here to help me. And so I'm asking you for a double portion. Somebody say a double portion. Now, we read that text, double portion, and our interpretation is twice as much. I want twice as much of your spirit. That's how it reads. I want twice as much of your anointing. As a matter of fact, I want to be two times better than you. That's how we read it today. But if we recognize the time in which this text was written, we will recognize that a double portion meant something else altogether. A double portion was the portion that was given to the firstborn son in a family. It was the way to ensure that the family's legacy lived on. And so the rest of the siblings, if it's eight siblings, then the portion of the inheritance was divided by nine, and the firstborn got the double portion. So it wasn't necessarily that Elisha was asking Elijah for more anointing. What he was asking for was the blessing of the firstborn. He wanted to be known as the firstborn of Elijah, so that when he moved forward, he walked in the authority of Elijah. So it wasn't that he was trying to outdo him, because you know we make everything about a competition. It was that he wanted to walk in the way that Elijah has walked, to the extent that he wanted the double portion so that he could continue the work that God had started in him. Oh, I just need somebody in here to recognize that sometimes a double portion is not about how much you get, but it's about how much you'll be able to give. And so he asked for a double portion, to the extent that Elijah said, wait a minute, that's a hard one. I don't even know if I can do that, but if you're there, when the Lord takes me up, I believe in my heart that God would want you to have the double portion. So if you follow me all the way, then you'll get the blessing that you're looking for. But if you don't, then you won't. And they kept on walking, and they kept on talking. And that was enough for Elijah. He didn't ask any question about how or when, but he kept on following and he kept on walking. And the text says that as they were walking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire came and separated the two of them, to the extent that Elisha was now separated from Elijah, and he was seeing something that he had never seen before. Because if you stay with God to the end, God might show you some things that other people have never seen. You might be able to experience some things that other people will never experience, because you stayed the whole way. And when he stayed the whole way, the chariots came down and the fire came down. And the text says that he was taken up in a whirlwind. And when Elisha saw it, it says he tore his clothes in mourning. He tore his clothes in reference to what he had seen happen. Have you ever been in a situation where you were happy and sad at the same time? Sad to see his master taken, but grateful for the double portion. Have you ever been in a situation where you were happy and sad at the same time? Sad to see your sister depart, but grateful that she's no longer in pain. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been happy and sad at the same time? That's what we're experiencing. Oh, hallelujah, with Elijah and Elisha. So the text says that he tore his clothes, representing the distraught that he was feeling. Because sometimes when we know something is about to happen, we're not ready to deal with it at the time that we find out that it's going to happen. That we have to deal with it when it actually happens. Because he already knew that God do. And so he got to the point where Elijah was gone. He tore his clothes, representing mourning. But then the text says that he got up and he put on Elijah's mantle. Now, when Elijah left, everything went with him. All of his clothes, everything except his mantle. This is the same mantle that when Elijah had given up and was ready to throw in the towel, God said, I'm going to pass by. Cover yourself so that you don't experience my glory, because nobody can see me and live. That was the mantle that Elijah used to cover himself. So when the Lord passed by, it wasn't in the lightning, and it wasn't in the thunder, and it wasn't in the strong wind, but it was in the silence. And when Elijah heard it, he knew that God was passing by. And so he covered himself with that mantle. The same mantle that when he saw Elisha, he went and put on Elisha. That same mantle. It was an anointed thing, y'all. And I know we act like a thing is just a thing. But sometimes a thing is not just a thing. It depends on who it's attached to. Just ask the woman with an issue of blood who touched the hem of his garment. It was just a thing, but it wasn't just about the thing. It was who it was attached to. Just ask the people who were bringing their handkerchiefs to Paul and touching Paul and going back to folk who were sick and touched them with a handkerchief. And when he touched them with a handkerchief, the person was healed, because the power was in the one who's holding the thing. And just like now, that mantle fell and Elisha picked it up, put it around himself, and he went back to the Jordan. And when he got to the Jordan, he took it off and he wrapped it up and he struck the Jordan. Nothing happened, y'all. Nothing happened that first time. But after he struck it and nothing happened, the text said that he said, where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of Elijah? In other words, I know this is something I can't do myself, but because I know somebody who has experience with God, I can say to my God, where is that God? Where is the God of Elijah? We can say, where is the God of my mother, for which she didn't have enough? God stretched it and made more enough. Where is the God of my grandmother, who prayed and cried and prayed for me even before I was born? Where is the God of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca, Jacob and Leah and Rachel? We can ask God the question, where are you, God? Because I've seen you show up for other people in my life. Where is the God of Pastor Mike, who when he was sick, God healed his body? When he had a hemorrhagic stroke, God allowed him to defy the odds and come back walking and come back talking, even though he's not supposed to. I dare you to ask God, where are you, God? Where's the God of my mother? Where's the God of my father? Where's the God of my ancestors? Because I declare that if you ask, God might just answer. Because the text says that
abortion so that he can stand up for the people. He healed the waters of Jericho with his double portion. He multiplied the widow's oil with his double portion. He prophesied for a son to an elderly couple, and they had a child with his double portion. He raised that child from the dead with his double portion. He removed poison from a pot of stew with his double portion. He cured Naaman of leprosy with his double portion. He made a bottle explode with his double portion. As a matter of fact, Elisha did more miracles than any other prophet outside of Jesus the Christ. He believed God for his double portion. And so I just want to know, is there anybody here today that's believing God for a double portion? A double portion of faith, a double portion of strength, a double portion of joy. Because if you believe it and you ask with everything that's in you, God just might give you what you ask for as you do everything that you can do. God will do what you can't do. And you might be sitting here saying, well, Pastor Lakeisha, that's all well and good, but that was Elijah. That ain't my story. I don't know if I can have a double portion. But I'm so grateful that in the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah, there is a scripture in the 7th verse that tells us how we can get our double portion. And it reads, are y'all ready? Because if you want to know how to get your double portion, it's right here in this text. And the text says, because their shame was double and dishonor was proclaimed as their lot, therefore in their land they shall possess a double portion. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. So that double portion is not just for Elisha, but anybody in the building and watching online who's gone through a season of shame, who's gone through a season of ridicule, who's gone through a season where everything was going in the wrong direction. Everybody who's gone through a period where people talked about you, called you out your name, thought that where they saw you was where you still were. If you've been dishonored when you try to do the right thing, but evil is present on every hand, then that double portion is available to you. I just need to know, is there anybody here who feels like they've experienced double the shame? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your double portion is on the way. If you've experienced double the disgrace, your double portion is on the way. I just need about 5 people who can recognize that God will give me double for my trouble. That is not over until God says it's over. Double portion of faith, a double portion of love, a double portion of truth, a double portion of joy. And not just a double portion of joy, but everlasting joy. That's the joy that the world didn't give and the world can't take away. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away. What will you do with your double portion? Pray.
praying for God to do something that hasn't been done before. But no, it is available to you.
Jesus.
When you have big faith,
Jesus.
And you make big sacrifice,
Jesus.
And you dream big dreams,
Jesus.
God just
Jesus.
Might show up
Jesus.
In an unexpected way
Jesus.
And give you
Jesus.
An unexpected blessing.
Jesus.
If you've been faithful over a few things, the God of Lakeisha, woo, will make you a ruler over many. Keep trusting. Keep believing. The enemy wants you to believe that it will not get better. But I'm here to declare that the enemy lies. It is going to get better. God is there for you. God sees you. And God hears you when you pray. And God knows you. And if it hasn't happened just yet,
Jesus.
It may just be because you're still in Gilgal. It may just be because you're still in Bethel. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. You just got to put your boots on and go a little bit further. Get on out to Jericho. Ah. And when you feel you've been faithful over the few things, you can say to God, where are you? That's what he did. Where are you? Where is the God of Elisha? And God showed up. Come on, stand all over your feet. There is a double portion just for you. With everything you've gone through and everything you've survived, there is a double portion just for you.
Jesus.
With all that you've lost, all the people
Jesus.
Who've transitioned
Hallelujah.
That you weren't ready to let go of just yet, there is a double portion just for you.
Thank you.
But you've got to believe
you.
In the God of your ancestors.
Woo.
You got to believe in what you know more than what you're going through right now. Because that thing will make you think that that's the only thing. But you've got history with God. Tell your neighbor you've got history with God. Oh, tell your neighbor you've got history with God. Oh, come on, remind yourself, I've got history. I've got history. Oh. If you're here today and you are in the midst of a rough season, oof, in the midst of loss, in the midst of shame and dishonor, won't you come down? Let's pray. Let's pray today. If you're going through that season where it just feels like nothing is going right and so much is going wrong, just come on. Make your way to this place. If you're in a season of mourning, those times where you just want to just rip your clothes like Elisha did, come on down today. We're going to pray. Oh, because the devil is a liar. This is not the end. It is not over. Listen, if you need to get out of your aisle, just say, excuse me. Oh, they'll let you right out. Because God is not through blessing you. It is not over until God says it's over. And it's not over until it's good. So if it's not good, then it's not over. Then keep pressing and keep pushing and keep faithing and keep believing and keep walking and keep praying and keep singing and keep shouting and keep trusting that the same God that's brought you all the way here. Woo. A long way. Some of us, it's been a long road. That same God that got you here today is that same God that's going to take you all the way.